Yeah, yeah. Any question, please?
How'd you like the snow yesterday?
It was the first experience that I've ever been in a snow. I'm just seeing them by far. When we were in Tanzania in school, we were staying between two mountains, Mount Meru and Mount Kilimanjaro, but we could see them by far. We had no time to go and maybe climb and see all those things. So yesterday it was my first experience to go and see and touch and take pictures. And when we arrived there, it was very cold. I had a heavy jacket on me. I could not even stand there 20 minutes. I was just trembling like this. But the funny part of it, I saw young kids, like maybe 3 to 4 years old, they were just sleeping on top of ice. That was the funny part of it. So.
Were they going like this with their arms?
Yeah.
They're making snow
angels. Yeah, and they were just rolling like this, and others are throwing on the other person, and it's like they're home. So. Okay.
How young is your youngest child to your oldest child?
My youngest is close to 4 years old, and my oldest is 28. Yeah, and he's a pastor already. I think some of you met him. He's Huntington, those who met Huntington. He's a pastor, and immediately when he is among the first kids that I had before. So one day we were talking with him, and then I say, what do you want to be in future? And he was saying that I want to be a pastor. And I say, a pastor? I wanted to know if he's sure with what he's telling me. So I wanted to hear from him and to make sure that he's telling me from what he knows, he's aware of. So I told him that, no, a pastor is a horrible job, a difficult job. I do not want you to be a pastor. Don't look forward to be a pastor. Say, no, pastor, you don't really understand this. Let me tell you, we are so much blessed. I just want to be like you. Then I realized that he's understanding what he's going to do. Then I say, continue. May the Lord bless you. Then the following year, we planted a church for him. And when he got married, we took him there. And he's staying there with his wife. And the Lord has blessed them with one child. So it's a blessing for me to see them. And we took his wife to college. The wife wants to be a teacher. And this is the first year for his wife to be in school. So we are taking care of that child. I have a grandchild and taking care of a grandchild. So I'm so much blessed to see that, what the Lord is really doing. Okay.
You speak three languages. Which language is the language of your community? Swahili?
In Kenya, we have 43 languages. 43 in the whole nation, 43 different languages. When a child is born, the mother is trying to maybe to teach the child the first language of the mother. With me, I'm speaking Luo. That's my language. I'm a Luo by tribe in Kenya. And that's the language I know better than any language. So after that, we have a national language, which is Swahili. Swahili is a national language for all the 43 tribes. So if you want to communicate and talk with another tribe, you talk with that person in Swahili. And then our first president was really wise, because it's really different with other countries like Tanzania, whereby people just speak in their language and Swahili, and that's all. So he came up with a program whereby Swahili is a national language, which means everybody, you have to speak Swahili. And then English is an official language for the whole country. whereby if you want to write any letter, all the books in all our schools, everything is written in English. So we speak Swahili when we are playing outside, but when you come to class, everything is in English. So automatically you will end up speaking in many languages and you don't really know how you do it. So that's the funny part of it. So English is for the learned. You have to go to school in order for you to learn English and to have English. And Swahili is for everybody. But when you come to class, Swahili is just one subject. It's a subject with one book, with a special teacher to teach that book. And that's all. So when you come to school, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 days, those are days whereby they speak in English in school. And then Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, they speak in Swahili. So if a teacher finds you speaking with another language which is not on that day, they will whip. You will get some, they will punish you. So our kids are learning many languages. And because of kids, you know, if you're a kid, mainly the children, they can learn so quickly and adapt the language easily. So that's the way Kenya is. And we thank the Lord we could manage to speak more than one language. The two, they are my teachers. You know, they are good. They are quick to learn, and because I and my wife we did not go to school, and they are going to school. So when they come home, the language is two: Swahili and English, not Luo, not the other language, because others are from other tribes. So when we are here, we don't really speak in other tribes' languages, the small languages. They speak in English and Swahili. And they are the best teachers. They are teaching us how to speak in English and how to write. And they are teaching us almost everything. So, okay, Mary.
What was your opportunity to first learn English? Did you actually met someone, or did you go?
I can say it's unique, because when I got saved, I was staying with a pastor who was taking care of me. I did not know to read, how to write, and all those things. I didn't know at all. So the pastor that I was staying with, his wife was a teacher. So she could come back and teach me how to read and write. That was the way I started doing it. And after that, I know how to read a little bit. And then when I met the first missionary in our area, that was the work that he was doing for me, teaching me English and how to write and how to speak. So I was staying with an American missionary coming from Oregon, something like that. I don't know how to pronounce it well. Oregon or Oregon. Yeah. So I stayed with him for quite a number of years, and he was the best teacher. Now he's in Canada. His name is Tim, and he's a lovely man. So that's the way I learned this, how to speak in English, how to write, and it's a miracle. My mother does not understand how I'm doing this. She does not understand all this. They're saying, I don't understand you, how you're doing all these things. Okay.
I have a question. You mentioned that the children and the people there would love to have Bibles. Is it possible to send Bibles?
Yes, it's possible to buy. We have quite a number of stores in my place. If we could have a way and means of buying the Bibles for them, we can buy Bibles for them there the youths, they don't want to speak they speak in Swahili, but they don't really write anything in Swahili. They speak in Swahili, but they write anything in English. So they don't want a Swahili they don't want a Bible in Swahili language. They want in English because that is their language. And those who did not go to school, the old, they like Swahili and their mother tongue. So they can have Luo or Luya or Kisii or Kikuyu or other languages. But the youth is English, because that's the Bibles they carry when they go to school. In Kenya, you know, we are blessed. I'm saying we are blessed because it's in the syllabus that every Friday, the first lesson, 1 hour every Friday, pastors have to come and teach our children the Word of God, the whole nation, in any school. So we don't really want to take that for granted. I'm sending out my pastors almost to all schools, and they are ready to teach every time. Because that is what is we should make use of this. Because if the country and the government, they allowed that, so we want to make use of that opportunity.
Wow. Mm.
Before we plant a church, we must know where we're going to plant this church. And then after that, we are starting what we call a Bible study, having some few people there that can come together for a Bible study. And when we are doing that Bible study, we have to make sure who is going to lead that Bible study group, and it will be when, at what time. So when we are doing that, we are trying to make friends with the community. They are trying to know who we are and what we are really doing. And we are doing our Bible study in homes. And after that, somebody who is leading that Bible study is the one that will make to be the pastor of that group. Sometimes he does not know that he will be the pastor. But I know that when I'm taking him there, automatically you're the pastor. Because others are telling me, no, I don't really think, Pastor, I'm called to be a pastor. Then I say, it's okay, but just work on this group for maybe a month or two. I'll take care of that. At long last, he ends to be the best pastor. So, because nobody was born to be a pastor. It's the call. But maybe sometimes you are called, you don't know that you are called. Somebody can see your call and tell you, you are called, you can do this. So that's why we ended up doing it. And after that, I take them to a Bible school. I'm one of the teachers teaching our pastors in Bible school. So when they are in leading these Bible study groups and they are teaching and doing all those things, we take them to our Bible school immediately after that in order for them to understand the role and the duties they will be doing so that they don't really depend on me. They know what they're supposed to do. So we have planted 62 churches, and 37 have come from my church. So sending out almost the best that would help you in a church is not easy sometimes for the pastors. Because every time you're sending the best deacon out, the best secretary out, the best treasurer out, so it's not easy. But because is the call. When you send, God is bringing someone coming up. Because it's not my work. That is not my church. So up to now, we are still having 600 members coming on Sunday to fellowship with us. The first service is for the learned guys, my kids, and they are the people leading that is in English, the first service. The second service is in Swahili and English. The last service is in Swahili only. So we have three different services every Sunday. So that's what we are doing.
Pastor, speaking of sending Bibles or supplies, I remember Shem telling us that it's much easier for us to find a way to get funds to you instead of supplies. We could ship you trains full of clothing and Bibles and food and shoes and school supplies, but he explained that it's because of the fines and the fees to get stuff from like Nairobi to you, it's easier if we would just send the money and everyone there knows where to buy all this stuff.
I think that's true. One time, I think 2 years back, somebody just sent a camera to me through the postal office program process. And when I went to pick up that camera, they charged me twice what I was supposed to pay that camera in Kenya. So I could not pay that. And then I wrote to the person who was sending that camera to me. I told her that I cannot pay that much. I don't have that much. So they better take it back to you, or you better work out another way. So they have to send money for me to pay in order for me to get it, because it's too much, I cannot pay it. So the best thing is to send some funds. They are available there, and it will be easier and cheaper when we do it. And it will be easier. Maybe within a week, we have the money, we buy it, and we forget about it. Okay.
I had a question about how receptive are people in your communities to the gospel? And how much of an impact evangelistically are you having?
I tell you, that is what we are really working on right now. Our people are receptive. You can enter anywhere. And I think Shane, when he was there, he was just walking, maybe sometimes alone. When people are walking, doing something, he could just step nearby to the nearby homes by himself. He's a true testimony of this. Our people, they love the Lord. Anybody who comes in talking with them about the Word of God, you don't really take time to be a friend of somebody in order for somebody to know who you are, in order for you to share Jesus with them. No. You just step in and you knock the door, and only one question: are you saved or not saved? They will answer, I'm not saved, I'm saved. And then you are asking them, if you are not saved, would you allow me to share Jesus with you? Most of the time they say yes. You can go to 100 homes, and I don't really think that maybe one person will tell you, no, I don't really want you to share with me, I don't have time. It's very rare. If you can talk with maybe 100 people, they do not know where you are coming. Maybe you can stop them on the way. They're just walking on the way. Hey, guys, you stop them there. They listen to you, and they're getting saved there. And you are taking their contacts, and you follow them. They come back to the church. So this is the time that I think we need to preach, because the time is coming whereby our people will be like your people, whereby you have to be friends, and it takes time and time before you lead even one to Christ. So we better make use of this time now. So when we have you, that is more than a crusade. Because when you come in, others will just come because they wanted to talk to you. Just seeing a different color, they will just come. We want to talk to this person. And through that, you have maybe 20 people already there. You just preach to them. All of them will be saved, and you move to another place. So this is the time that we need to do that. So when I have a visitor, I just take my visitor to where I think, if we go, we are going to get the people that I need. So you just sit maybe by the roadside, and they will just come. Pastor, what are you doing here? We are here for you. We are waiting for you. And they will start talking with them. You lead them to Christ. They are there. So this is the right time for us to share Jesus. Another question?
Do you dedicate babies and do baptisms in your church?
Yes. We dedicate babies. And what we normally do, we dedicate babies immediately after 8 days, when the first time we brought them to church, the first time maybe the mother, she has come to the church, that day we dedicate that day, baby, that day. So that's what we normally do. And during that time, like what the pastor, he has done today, we could be eating chicken today. Because it's our custom. if a child is going to be dedicated, the parents are carrying a chicken. We are going to give the pastor a chicken, live chicken, there on that day. So that's what they are doing. So as something that they think they are going to bless the pastor with. You don't force them to do that, but they love doing that. Okay.
Speaking of feeding, how do you feed 40 children?
Yeah.
My brother, that's a very hard question. Because I'm a pastor, but the church is not really paying me. I'm living by faith. And sometimes I don't know tonight I'm going to eat what. So it's very difficult to tell you how I'm feeding them, but I can say it's just by the hand of the Lord. Because I don't have any particular time or money that I know at this time I'm going to get this, so I'll do shopping on this, on this, on this, and then get it this ready. No. I just depend on what the Lord has given me, and that's what I depend on. And it's something strange, but that is what is happening. One day, one of my daughters came to me, and she told me that, you know, Pastor, today I'm not going to eat vegetable. I'm tired of vegetable. You know, it's a very strong word. Very early in the morning, she said, no, today, Daddy, I don't want to eat vegetable. Then I say, it's okay, what do you want to eat? And she came up with a list of the things that she wanted. The mother was in Kisumu, and she was like now taking care of the younger ones. And it's like she went around and persuaded the whole crowd that today we are not eating vegetable. Today we are not eating. So when they came to me, even the younger one was telling me, Daddy, no vegetable. Then I say, Lord, what can I do now? Because these kids, they know that I have everything. They don't really know that there's something I'm missing. So I just took the list of the things that they wanted, and I went inside my office during that time before we destroy our church. We are working on a church right now that we are planning, maybe God willing, we'll have a place to worship God. Right now we are worshiping outside. Those who have been there, they know. So I just went inside a room, and I closed that door, and I knelt down and asking God, God, this is a big temptation before me. You know that I don't have money. These kids does not want to eat vegetable. So tell me what to do. But by the end of the day, you'll give what they need, if that is your will. So I just pray, and I forget about it. I was doing other things. Before 5 in the evening, one of my best friends came to visit me. When he came, he was this man that I was telling you, he was a missionary, Tim Gillian. He was just passing by from Nairobi, and he made a stop in my place. This guy brought all the things in the list. And then when he brought all these things, I took this to the hand of this girl, and then I say, I've already bought everything that you needed. So from that day, that girl, she's saying, I will never ask Daddy anything. So it's unique. It's unique the way the Lord is taking care of us. Before I left, there was a lady who was really trying to help us. That lady had a problem with the family, so she could not even send some money to help us to feed these children. So when I was leaving, I said, God, what am I going to do? I'm leaving these people without food, more than 1 month. How Helen is, a woman is going to do all these things, it's not going to be easy. So I was praying and asking God. When I was praying that, God did something that I was not even expecting. We have our own district this time in our region, and the office of the district commissioner is just next to my house. It's not that very far. So when he came, he wanted to know where he can fellowship, because it's a new thing. They are setting up the office. So many people told him many things about me, and he wanted to meet me. So he came and they say, Pastor, I would love to see you. You are doing here a wonderful ministry. I've ever seen something like this. But would you tomorrow pass by my office? So when I went to his office, I found him with two sacks of corn, one sack of beans, and 2 gallons of cooking oil in his office. And he's telling me, take this to the kids. So I don't know how God is taking care of them. Okay.
Buzz, how often do the kids eat? Do you eat more than one meal a day usually?
Sometimes one, mainly is once. Mainly is just once per day. Because I cannot afford to give them food every 3 times in a day. But mainly is once per day, maybe in the evening. We are trying at least every evening they can get something to eat. Because we are also taking care of widows. And we are trying to deny ourselves some of the things. So because these widows, some of them are very old, there's nobody taking care of them, and they depend on the church. So it's taking me some of the money that we could maybe use from the church to take care of these kids, to get maybe breakfast and maybe lunch. We have decided together with these children that we are going to feed these old ladies. So we are taking care of widows, and that's why we cannot afford to have 3 meals or 2 meals in a day, because we have to take care of the widows too.